This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The White House bridles the banks, and the banks don't like it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama has put forward legislation designed to rein in the big banks. It would ban them from making risky trades, among other things. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has our story.
Under the White House proposal, banks wouldn't be able to make investments in hedge funds or private equity funds on their own behalf. That's called proprietary trading. The Obama administration says it can cause a conflict of interest that would hurt the bank's customers. Banks don't like the idea at all. Some are threatening to move to other countries that don't restrict trading. Andrew Hilton is director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation in London. He says London became an international financial center when American banks moved there to avoid a tax 30 years ago.
And London grew up as a center of what we came to call the Euro markets, and is now, I suppose, the leader of, as far as international finance goes, even ahead of New York.
Hilton says a top British financial official is even touting the UK as a more friendly place for banks than the US. But Hilton says the political climate in Britain is similar to the feeling in the US, where banks are blamed for causing the financial crisis. He says eventually Britain might propose restrictions similar to what President Obama wants. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And now to the numbers. European stocks are off very slightly this morning. Asian shares, though, fell about 1%. Yesterday, the Dow slipped just 9 points, closing at 10,396. Japanese auto dealers said today, despite Toyota's struggles, the Prius was still the top-selling car in Japan last month. Meanwhile, Toyota is trying to close the only car-making plant in California. The plant was a joint operation with General Motors, but GM pulled out last summer, and Toyota plans to end production this month. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler says California is trying to save the plant.
The plant is located in Fremont, California, where unemployment is already around 16%. When it closes, another 5,000 people will lose their jobs. A new economic study finds that, indirectly, the closure could cost the state an additional 20,000 jobs, plus more than $1 billion in lost tax revenues. UC Berkeley professor Harley Shaken led the study. He says Toyota would also lose money if the plant closes.
The total labor cost at this factory is less than what Toyota pays in its main plant in Georgetown, Kentucky.
But Toyota spokesman Mike Goss sees it differently.
After GM left, we studied it carefully, but in this current economic environment, it's just not feasible for one automaker to run that facility.
Toyota has pledged $250 million for workers losing their jobs, and Goss says the decision to close the plant is final. California officials aren't giving up yet. They're headed for Japan, where they'll make their case directly to Toyota executives. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing, ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents, information available at Progressive.com.
The movie Alice in Wonderland opens this weekend with Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter.
What a regrettably large head you have. I should very much like to have it.
This idea of someone being mad as a hatter might not be entirely fictional. A professor in the School of Fashion at Toronto's Ryerson University says in 19th century England, the hat-making business was associated with mental imbalance. Dr. Allison Matthews-David, welcome to Marketplace.
Good morning.
How did hat making make people loopy?
Well, hat making was known to be one of the dangerous trades, as they were called in the 19th century. And those were trades that involved working with toxic materials like lead. In the case of hatting, it involved working with a mercury solution.
Why mercury?
What happened was beaver hats in the past were the most fashionable hats for men. And when they overhunted beaver in North America, they had to turn to lesser quality furs. So, for example, they needed rabbit fur to make felt hats. And in order to transform the rabbit fur into felt, they needed to brush it with a mercury solution.
And this disoriented some hat makers?
Well, yes, because, of course, there were no protective measures for workers in these trades. So they actually used their bare hands and touched the mercury. We know that mercury is highly, highly toxic. And then when the hats were dried as well, the mercury vapors would escape into the workshops where there was no ventilation. So this mercury entered their bloodstream, and it caused a multitude of health problems, including trembling. You would become often irritable, irrational.
And did Lewis Carroll ever speak of a connection between the Mad Hatter and unhealthy hat makers?
He didn't speak specifically about it, but he grew up near a hatting center in the UK called Stockport, where hats were made. And certainly it was a larger cultural stereotype. He would have seen hatters being irrational and erratic. It was well known that hatters were often a little bit loopy.
You're writing a book about the health dangers and consequences of fashion. You must observe a lot of pop culture in a unique way because of what you know.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's. I could write about 8 books on health problems. It's sort of anything from dyes. Green dyes were made using arsenic, for example, or even things like large crinoline skirts catching on fire or ballerinas' tutus catching on fire. So there are lots of health hazards historically caused by fashion, but also today.
Dr. Allison Matthews-David is a professor at Ryerson University in the School of Fashion there, and she's writing a book called Fashion Victims, Clothing and Health in Historical Perspective. Doctor, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And finally, a Republican congressman is proposing that Ulysses S. Grant be bumped off the $50 bill in favor of Ronald Reagan. North Carolina's Patrick McHenry says Reagan beat the Soviets, transformed our approach to government, and renewed America's self-confidence. One opponent said, given the deficits Reagan ran up, his face should be on a commemorative credit card. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.